am Scott, Gen X.
I'm Sam, Gen Y.
And you are listening to XY Podcasts. So the year is currently 2024, but we are going to look back at 1984.
I'm going to take you back. Take you way back.
So what was that? Like 40 years ago?
Yeah, 40 years ago. Wow. My brother turns 42 this year.
So he is a Gen... Is he an Xer?
I believe so, yeah.
Let me see. 84. I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, also in 1984, November 22nd, my mom and dad got married.
Oh! So they're responsible. We hold them accountable.
Trojan.
there was a commode that would be blown up sometime later that their actions are indirectly responsible for.
Oh Lord.
And a few other stories that escape my memory at the moment. But in 84, I went into the hospital with pneumonia.
That was the year?
But that was the year that I went in with pneumonia. So I never mentioned that. I told you about when I went in 2009 with what I believe was swine flu.
The one you almost died.
Yes.
Well, thank the Lord for that. That you did.
Yes, yes, most definitely. It would have put a damper on the party.
It would have been lonely here.
Oh, but yeah, and I actually had a little buddy who I shared my hospital room with. He had diabetes. So we hung out in our hospital rooms, and then we actually kept in touch for a little while after that.
Well, that's cool. Isn't it strange how you meet people, become friends in the strangest places?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Scott. I'm dying from pneumonia. Hi, I'm Jason. I'm dying from diabetes. Yeah, it was a nice family. I actually went over there and visited a couple times.
Oh, cool.
I actually slept over.
That's when you know your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're like instant buddies. But like I said, nice family. Of course, years go by, you lose touch. Let me see what else was going on in 84, because, oh, I was around and you were still genetic material at that point.
Yeah, I was -5. Still have a twinkle in the Lord's eye.
Reagan was in the White House.
Was he the best president ever? I hear that from so many people.
Well, statements like that are going to be highly subjective. I don't know about that. I would say that he seemed to be competent in doing what he set out to do. But yeah, he had the policies of a rich man. So
okay.
So there are things like trickle down economics. I was just like, but what if you're at the bottom of the trickle? He was a tough dude. He got shot. I think it was John Hinckley who shot him. I always confuse him and the guy who killed Lenin.
Oh, wow. Some dark times.
Yeah. 80s. And then the music had taken a... I guess because the electronic music had kind of taken hold of, the industry. So there were the musicians who were good musicians who knew what they were doing, who incorporated the electronics into their music. Then there were the people who were just like, oh, I got a keyboard and a synthesizer. You had that very distinct 80s sound. So you had Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's, who were they were big producers back in that at that point. They actually came out of Minneapolis. I think they were members of the time, if memory serves. Jam and Lewis, they produced some big talents. They actually produced Janet Jackson, produced Herb Alpert's album, Keep Your Eye on Me. Herb Alpert was the A in A&M, so they kind of already worked for him, I think. Their sound was tight, but there were, I mean, Prince was really big with ushering in, a lot of the electronic sound. But I mean, it started back in the 70s. But yeah, in the 80s, it was just the it was it's kind of like what you get now with any kid in a and with a decent computer can make, produce beats, and doesn't really take any talent, just technical know-how. But you know what I mean with music sounding the same.
Yeah, that's all today's music, in my opinion. It's, I don't know, it's gotten weird.
Some of what can be barely called music nowadays.
Yeah, that's facts.
It's noise. But fortunately, the movie industry was alive and well, and there were some good, memorable flicks from 84, many of which I had the privilege of seeing in the theater.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I think it is your turn to go first.
Is it?
I believe so.
I have a top five with an honorable mention.
Oh, do you?
Oh yeah. And I hope I hope we don't have any repeats,
See, now
but
given some of the selections from 84, it's highly unlikely that there's not going to be some overlap. I'm
okay.
just But we'll see.
All right, I'm gonna go in with number one,
Okay.
the Never Ending Story.
Oh. Okay. I don't know why that surprises me as much as it does.
I've seen it like seven times, not gonna lie. It's a pretty good movie.
I came across it when I was prepping my list, and I was like, I watched it, I liked it,
Yeah.
but I didn't put it on the list. So I'm glad you included.
So no overlapping on that one. We're good.
Nope.
Number two, I have Once Upon a Time in America.
Oh my gosh. Who is this again?
It's oh, what's his name?
No, I'm saying who's on the pod with me? Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah, have you seen it?
Years ago, I'm just like, it's I didn't think that was going to be in your
Repertoire?
right.
Now you'll probably be like, yeah, I figured you'd pick this one. My third one is Children of the Corn by Stephen King.
Not surprised. Malachi.
Yeah. Malachi.
That was a creepy kid.
Yeah, he was.
He was probably like 27.
Like the new days, they'll be playing high school students, but they're really 30 years old.
Yeah, like the cast of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, same. Number four, Firestarter.
Oh, you know what? When I was
Overlap.
looking, no overlap there,
Okay.
but had I remembered that was an 84 release, it would have made it onto my list. It did not. But yeah, actually, Drew Barrymore was actually good in that movie.
Yeah, she was.
Well, I mean, and I say that like she's not usually good. She actually usually is good. I think, she got known more for her, stuff in her personal life when she was younger.
Right.
But no, she was good in everything as a kid, and she's funny as an adult.
She's definitely one of my top 10 actors or actresses.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, she's got a I think she's got a pretty good resume. All right. And number five, I believe, is next.
Number five, the original Roadhouse.
Okay, so you fell into the trap I almost fell into. Take a look at that roadhouse.
Oh no.
So the what we call the original Roadhouse was actually released in 87 or 89. I don't remember which, but it was one of those 2 years.
Yeah, I fell into the trap. It's Roadhouse 66.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That is not what I wanted to mention.
And you know what? There's a few movies with duplicate titles that almost happened to me on. But yeah, that one I was like, wait a second, Roadhouse, because I definitely remember that it came out. I was in college by the time that came out.
So I fell right down into the hole.
Eh, it happens.
Oh man. At least I have a strong honorable mention.
Okay, and.
Gremlins.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you have to watch Gremlins.
Lloyd Axton.
There's a scene in Gremlins where he's wearing the 3D glasses. And his teeth are all colored. There's been a meme out where he's compared to Lil Wayne. It's pretty funny.
Oh, I can actually kind of see that. Well, okay, actually, not a bad list. The Roadhouse thing notwithstanding, but like I said, the same thing almost happened to me.
Honest mistake, I swear.
Well, I've got I prepped a top 10 list with a couple honorable mentions. So
All right.
I will start off from what would be number 10, City Heat.
City Heat.
That was actually Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds. It was kind of a film noir comedy.
I have seen almost all of Clint Eastwood's movies. I
Well,
swear he hasn't put out a bad one.
you have to circle back to that. Well, have you seen that? Have you seen City Heat?
Yeah, I've seen
Okay,
that one.
yeah. I enjoyed it. Number nine, I'll just glance over this one, knowing how you feel about it. Star Trek III: The Search for Spock.
I knew it.
Eight, A Soldier's Story. It's based on a soldier's play.
Yeah.
Featured Howard Rollins and some actors that you would recognize today, one of which being a very young, but rather intense Denzel Washington, who played Private Peters. And the bad guy, well, not the bad, well, the murder victim in the story, the sergeant that everyone hated, was played by Adolf Caesar. Good actor, unfortunate name.
Wait, what was his name again?
Adolf Caesar.
Oh, Lord.
Right? But he was a very good actor.
Kid.
Well, he was kind of an older guy by that point, but
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, I was just imagining him as a kid.
I maybe that's what
Adolf.
maybe that's why he played mean characters so well.
Took his aggression out on him.
So next would be 2010, the sequel to 2001. Competent movie, nowhere nearly well as well done as 2001 though.
2001, A Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one was directed by Stanley Kubrick. 2010 was directed by Peter Hyams. The Last Starfighter, the first pretty much fully CG science fiction movie, kind of like a couple decades ahead of its time. And the original Red Dawn.
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Yes. That's what he was doing around 1984. He wouldn't be doing Roadhouse for another like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Speaking of our Cobra Kai mentioned earlier, The
Is
Karate Kid, the original.
the wax on, wax off?
Hey. And then one that I don't know if you've heard of this one or not, but if you've heard of it, you probably haven't seen it.
That?
Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
No, I've never heard of that.
It's become a cult classic. It was a ridiculous film, and it was just schlocky. The effects were kind of janky, but it had this very quirky, clever script. And the guy who directed, his name was W.D. Richter. He just inserted all of these inside jokes into the script, and he just kind of encouraged the actors to just run with it. You've probably heard the meme, "Why is there watermelon there? I'll tell you later." That one.
I've heard of
Yeah, that's from Buckaroo Banzai, and that was
that.
actually inserted in there deliberately to as a dig at the studio.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, that one's definitely worth a watch now, just because of how silly and the inside jokes are. So, then rounding out the top, I'm going to say Purple Rain, Nav said.
Yep.
And then my honorable mentions are Dune, the original 1984 Dune, directed
Okay, and not the
by,
remakes.
yeah. And the reason it makes an honorable mention is because it's widely regarded as being pretty bad, in terms of, it's just considered campy. But David Lynch, I think he took a really big swing. It was ambitious. There were a lot of things I thought that worked, that he did right.
Yeah.
But there was a lot about it that just, it fell far short. It didn't translate from the page to the screen. And I think he recut the thing, I don't know how many times, three or four times. But I give him credit for trying. If I think if it wasn't for the David Lynch version, we
Yeah.
wouldn't enjoy the two that just came out. And there were other versions between that one and the most recent ones. Sci-Fi Channel did two miniseries based on the books. So, and my other honorable mention is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Why it only gets an honorable mention is because, in my mind, it is the worst of the Indiana Jones movies.
The worst though? I've seen every
It's the
one of them, but
worst one. The next worst one is the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I was about to say that one.
But yeah, Temple of Doom was just ridiculous. Especially like the dinner scene. But it was exciting. And then my top pick of 1984, which I am really surprised, this is where I said that I thought there was going to be some duplication, was the original Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh. With
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, yeah. Have you
Yeah.
seen the new one?
Yes, it's still on Netflix.
Is it good?
It
I haven't
is.
seen it yet.
I was surprised how good it was. I was, with it going straight to Netflix, I was kind of expecting, a repeat of Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yeah.
But no, it was actually, I'd say that in terms of being a sequel, it was probably better than Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh, wow.
I think B Beverly
Okay.
Hills Cop 2 was just, be it was just, it was more slickly produced. It was, I think it was directed by Tony Scott. That was, he was pretty hot back at that point. I
Yeah.
think he directed that one being fresh off of Top Gun.
Oh, yeah, he was on fire then.
Yeah.
That movie is still in like one of my top tens.
So now I'm almost afraid to get into TV premieres. I can tell by that laugh we're in trouble. And if I read that laugh correctly, not only are we in trouble, but we've got a duplicate.
I in TV, I only got three picks because I wasn't a big, I wasn't around,
Right,
but.
right.
But I picked up later a little bit of them.
I'm sure.
So I'll start with number one. All right, number one is Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, okay. Nice. Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
You know, I think I may have watched, parts of a few episodes of that show, but I was just like always amazed that why she knew a lot of people who had family members being murdered.
Yeah, it's kind of a how do you know this?
Yeah, she was just they were always like friends of hers or or
Yeah.
acquaintances. I was like, that's she had a lot of death in her life.
Right?
And like back then, TV seasons were like 22, 25 episodes. So like that means like she knew like 25 people that would be getting bumped off like every year. And how many seasons did that show run? It was on for a while.
Want to say like six. I'm not too sure on that. Don't take me for take my word for it, but
How could she have any friends left?
right. How are you not under the cell?
And you would think somebody in law enforcement is like, well, we should probably take a good look at this woman.
12 seasons.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of dead people. That's a lot of dead friends.
12 seasons of I knew her.
All right, good pick. Oh, what is your next one?
Next one is Miami Vice.
Ah, yes, that one. It's kind of amazing that that one did not make it onto my list.
Oh wow. Okay. I figured that would be our duplicate.
Yeah, I it almost was, but yeah, I think that one I was pretty positive that that was going to make it onto your list, so I said. With there were plenty of TV picks, so I figured that that was one that I could dance around.
Yeah. It ran for 5 seasons.
But it made quite the impact on television, though. It it in what you call it, it influenced the culture.
So, you ready for my last pick?
No.
You
Yes.
see, let me tell you about. Oh, let me make you a drink. It's the
You don't say. What a surprise. I did not see that coming. Yeah, I mean, once again, talk about influencing the culture. I mean, you have to it has to make the list.
I know as a kid, I watched The Cosby Show every night, along with Roseanne, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I'm a kid, I watch Pokemon too. So, but The Cosby Show stuck out.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and I don't care who you are, and I don't care what people say now, everybody did. Every family did because the show was hot and it was well done.
And my
So,
favorite line from the show is, I brought you into this world and I could take you out.
which was actually lifted out of his stand-up routine that inspired the show.
My funniest one is he's talking to his youngest daughter and he's like, come over here, 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 there's there, here is here. I need you here.
That was another one of the gags that came out of the stand-up. There were a good number of gags from the stand-up Bill Cosby himself
Yeah.
that found their way into that pilot episode.
It was awesome.
Here. But the line, I put you in this world, I'll take you out, that was actually a line that his father said to him.
Oh.
He's like, it don't make any difference to me because I'll make one that just look just like you.
My dad was more of the I'm gonna give you something to cry about.
Yeah, mine too. Yep, mine too. But yeah, I mean, you can't compile a best of TV list from 84 without including the Cosby Show on it. You just can't. It like I said, it dominated television and it dominated the culture.
Right.
So it would be redundant of me to mention it again, but it is actually on my list as well. But also on my list is the that was the year that the original Transformers premiered.
Oh, nice. The cartoon series.
Yes. And then the series, which definitely doesn't hold up, but I watched it. It was the aliens were like they were lizard people dressed up wearing human skin.
Were they actually decent? Like, I don't know. There's a turtle movie where they see their face through the mask, but was anything like that?
Yeah, there were a lot of scenes where their face would get ripped off and you'd see the lizard stuff underneath.
Oh, okay.
But there was also a remake. They brought the series back, I think maybe like 10 years ago on ABC.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Airwolf.
I haven't heard of that one.
Airwolf was a show about, well, there were actually two shows about souped-up helicopters. The first one was Blue Thunder, which was actually adapted from the movie by the same name, which was released in 82. The cool comparison between Blue Thunder and Airwolf was Airwolf was the helicopter that they used was based on a Bell, and they kind of mocked it up so that it looked like it could travel, faster than the speed of sound. And it was also equipped with missiles and high-powered weaponry.
Okay.
So, but it was a real helicopter, but it was dressed up. Blue Thunder, which was actually released as a movie, as I mentioned, in 1982, and then they used the same, I assume they used the same helicopter or helicopters to shoot the show. The cool thing about Blue Thunder was everything on Blue Thunder was real. All the technology existed.
Oh,
It
that's
was
crazy.
the so it had like a it had a like a heavy powered Gatling gun on the front of it that was synced with the helmet. So wherever the pilot looked, the gun would would train on whatever the pilot was looking at. It had a like a silence mode. It had infrared, but yeah, they just made it a point of saying that everything that was on Blue Thunder actually existed at the time. But they also very, very emphatic to say that, and by the way, it is illegal to arm a police helicopter. So, but yeah, it was just very interesting that, like I said, Blue Thunder practically they could have built Blue Thunder. Airwolf, not so much. Helicopters don't do well at the speed of sound.
No, not quite.
But ironically, Airwolf lasted several seasons, and Blue Thunder, I think, ran one. But they both came out that year
Yeah.
on TV. And then Voltron, the original Voltron.
Voltron.
My honorable mentions for TV were Hunter and Riptide.
Never seen either one of them.
I think they were both Stephen J. Cannell shows. Riptide was about three guys that lived on a boat, and they were private detectives.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two main guys were your regular meathead hunks, the good-looking guys, and there was a third guy on the boat who was a geek. But that show
So
ran for used to come on after the A Team, I think.
it's like a Gilligan's Island kind of thing.
Yeah, so they had a boat which was called the Riptide, and then so yeah that they lived on. Then there was a speedboat that I think they had towed up behind the big boat that they would sometimes use, and then so yeah, Cody owned the boats, and then Nick had a helicopter. It was a Screaming Mimi that he would sometimes fly, and he also had a vintage Corvette.
Wow.
And his license plate said Nick's Vet.
He had a stingray.
He did. So, yeah, I don't remember how many seasons. I think it ran like three or four seasons, Riptide. And then Hunter ran for a while. Fred Dreyer played Hunter.
three or
That's
four
what.
seasons. It's a pretty good run.
Yeah, and Fred Dreyer, ex-football player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played Hunter. That show was on for a good while.
Oh yeah.
He kind of had this. He kind of channeled Clint Eastwood a bit, except had less hair.
Oh, we both know about the hair game. You know what they say about bald people, right?
They don't pay as much for haircuts.
No, bald on the head. Wear a hat, you're gonna get burned.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to say.
There's that rhymes with it. I'm just not gonna say it.
Thank you. Uh,
Yeah, no problem.
l l less to cut out. So the. I am eagerly anticipating hearing your music picks.
This is what I've been waiting for. Music. Oh, I love the music from back then.
So I kept my music picks to five, but if you went crazy, I wouldn't be surprised.
I calmed down a little bit. I went to five and one honorable mention.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go with number one, Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Thought about that one actually.
Oh, you didn't make your list?
It well, there's a lot of stuff that I thought about that didn't make my list. That was certainly one of them.
Okay. And number two, What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner.
It's actually amazing that that didn't make my list.
That's surprising for real.
Well, I looked at it a couple of times and I was like, no, I'm just, it's low hanging fruit. I mean, it's low hanging fruit in terms of it's of course it was so popular
Yeah.
that, everyone's gonna think of that one. So I tried not to go with super obvious, but by the same token, the music was just so, there was just so much good stuff.
So you didn't go with the super mainstream.
I can't really say I didn't, but
You limited
yeah, I tried to make picks that I thought for sure would not get duplicated.
That's understandable. Well, you probably wouldn't think that I picked this one for my third one, but Come On, Feel the Noise by Quiet Riot. And it's just an interesting spelling too. Just, anyway.
Yeah, I noticed that. I don't know that it surprises me that you picked it.
Oh.
It didn't occur to me that you would when I came across it.
Yeah. Come on, feel the noise. Man, I was rocking to that when I was like 10 years old with my dad. And I asked him one time, I said, why is it spelled like that? And he goes, you'll figure that out when you get older.
That's what's called a double entendre. Actually, that might be more of a single entendre.
Number four. That was a Quiet Riot made a lot of good music, but that was just the one that I thought it was funny.
It's so nasty.
Don't try.
Well, maybe that's the reason.
It's natural.
Oh, dear.
So, on to number four, Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Glad I avoided that one.
Oh, man. I remember when I was younger, it came on the TV. I was like maybe seven, I don't know, six or seven. And that video scared the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
It was really, really well done. Actually, I don't know if you knew this or remember this. John Landis actually directed the video.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I think Rick Baker did the makeup effects. Yeah,
And They did good on that one.
They threw a lot of money at that video.
And what's
And
crazy is when I was younger, it didn't scare me like the video when they were dancing, they went into the house. What actually made me jump was the end of it when the camera zooms into his eye.
oh, with the werecat eyes.
Yeah. All right, number five. This is my last pick before my honorable mention. Round and Round by Rat with two T's. RATT.
Yes. Interesting. Very thankful that your musical tastes are as eclectic as they are.
Oh, you're gonna love the honorable mention. And I have picked it for my mother because this is one of her favorite bands.
Okay.
Or I don't know if it's a person or a band, but it's Love is a Battlefield, Pat Benatar.
Yeah, came across that one too.
Yeah, that's one of her favorite, I guess, singers.
Yeah, she was one of the original rockers.
Yeah. So when I saw Plush with Disturbed, they sung "Love Is a Battlefield" and something Barracuda.
The Barracuda's Heart.
Yeah, Barracuda's Heart. But that's the two songs they sung. They re what is it called? They didn't redo it. They covered it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a song that you don't want to put a whole lot of caffeine into your body before you listen to it.
Yeah.
It's like, that was a good cup of coffee.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- I hate caffeine. I hate caffeine. Interesting. All right. Well, my list is not going to be as exciting as all that, but these were definitely five of my favorites from that from 84.
Interested.
So I steered away from all the Lionel Richie picks because I was definitely listening to some Lionel Richie in 84.
Oh, I saw him and I was like, yeah, that's definitely going to be on your list.
And I avoided it. Once again, low hanging fruit. But I really can't say that what I have on my list isn't low hanging fruit either. So it's really only one pick on here that might surprise you. So my first one is a duet with Michael McDonald and James Ingram called "Yamo Be There."
Okay.
And the surprise is from Genesis.
Oh, that's a good group.
That's all.
A
Which
good song.
didn't really listen to it back then. I think I started appreciating that one later in my college years.
Yeah, I have their album actually.
And number three is everybody's favorite Billy Ocean song, Caribbean Queen.
I
Except yours?
wasn't.
Is that what you guys say? Except you?
I'm not. I wasn't big on Billy Ocean.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, once again, different tastes, different generations. But
It's
no, that
okay to
was.
be different.
Yes. Although I said everyone's favorite Billy Ocean song, it's one of my favorite Billy Ocean songs, but my favorite one is "Love Zone."
Love Zone. I have to re-listen to it.
So then, I thought you were gonna hit me with "Purple Rain," so I said I'm definitely not picking that one. Although, I mean, truthfully, you have to recognize the cultural impact of that album and that song, but not my favorite song off the album.
Wow. Which one is it?
I would say it was "I Would Die for You."
Okay.
And then my final pick was the collaboration of Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. Say, say, say.
I saw that on there.
Yeah, I like the tune, and it had a really fun video. Completely YouTubeable.
definitely going to after this.
But 84, you know, once again, I think that that slogan rings true. Don't want to live in the past, but it was a nice place to visit.
Right.
Yeah, some of the music from the 80s was, I mean, the 80s for music, when it was, when music was at its, when music was bad, it was at its worst.
Big hair bands.
But when music was good, it was at its best. You
Yeah,
know,
so I read online about Lionel Richie. By 1984, he had over 100 songs wrote.
he was, remember I told you before, Prince was writing songs for me, writing songs for people.
Yeah.
Like left and right, Lionel Richie was crazy writing songs for people.
That's wild, though.
He wrote songs for Kenny Rogers, I believe.
Dang. I think he has one on here with him. I have something to mention.
Yes.
So remember how I told you my first game console was the Atari 2600?
Yes.
Well, in 1984, they were going to come out with an Atari 7800, but they pushed it to 1986. The original release date was 1984. I just thought that was interesting information.
Oh, I
We
also.
never,
Oh, go ahead.
we never had a 7800. We only had the 2600. Then I think the Super Nintendo came out.
I seem to remember something about the 7800 being touted.
Really?
Yeah, because I think I remember like, ooh, it wouldn't be cool to have that since I never had the 2600. Everybody else did, but I never did.
Well, I had the 2600 in like 1994.
Well,
Yeah.
I never had it. But in 1994, I think I was rocking a Sega Genesis by that point.
That might have been what we had next. I know we've kept
Or
up with the consoles.
it was like maybe it was like 91 when I first got it. I also wanted to amend something from my film list from our last year from 77. So I included a film called March or Die with Gene Hackman and Terrence Hill, you know, about the French Foreign Legion. I didn't realize that during that same year, the whole reason that I was a Terrence Hill fan, the movie had was released also in that year that caught my attention, that tuned me on to Terrence Hill. It was called Crime Busters.
Okay.
So had I been aware of that, I would have definitely subbed out March or Die for Crime Busters. So Crime Busters was a kind of a slapstick comedy, and he was paired with Bud Spencer, who was a frequent collaborator. And it was two guys who joined the police force by mistake. They were going to rob a grocery store and didn't realize that in the back of the grocery store where they were going to try to enter was the police recruitment center.
Oh man.
And they joined up and became cops instead. But it was just ridiculously stupid and over the top, crazy comedy, and so one of many collaborations between those guys. I'm now, now Terrence Hill, he spoke English. Well, he speaks English. He's still alive. But the movie was dubbed, I'm pretty sure. I just think Terrence Hill did his own, he did his own English dubbing. But Bud Spencer was dubbed over with a guy that looked like Bud Spencer looked like the human the human incarnation of Pluto. Bud Spencer looked like my principal, Mr. Geekus.
Oh, but I'm gonna have to see a picture of this dude.
Yeah. But if you can find Crime Busters, it's a way to blow 90 minutes.
Sounds like it'd be entertaining. I mean,
Oh, I as a kid I loved that movie.
like the police academies. I mean, I like all those.
Yeah, kind of surprised that Police Academy didn't make your movie list. because that was an 84 release.
Was it the original? The first one, I mean?
It was.
Oh, wow. Honorable mention, Police Academy.
Because I was like, I'm not putting that on my list because I know for sure he's going to pick it.
I love Michael Winslow. He's one of my favorite.
Well, I think another one for the books, my friend.
And I'll take us out. All right, don't forget to like, subscribe, send us some mail. Everything will be listed in the description below. And I'm gonna leave you with this. All right. Okay. It's better to poop in the sink than to sink in the poop. I thought you was so stupid.
Well, and with that, then I'll say X.
Why?
Z. Later. And with that, we are out. And shame. Shame.
I got tears, man. I don't know why.
You say things like that, you know, George Clooney will never listen to us.
Oh Lord, as long as he doesn't, you know, come back like in the movie, Burn After Reading.